Evening. Open with me to Romans chapter 4. In Romans 4, you'll notice Paul is speaking, well, he's written to the Romans. These are Gentiles. These are not Jewish people. And he's discussing how faith comes not by the law. I mean, how righteousness, how sanctification, justification does not come by the law, but by grace and by faith. So he comes to his conclusion in chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it, salvation, justification, righteousness, is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Abraham, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, and raised again for our justification. I'm going to continue reading in chapter 5. But tonight, Donnie's going to speak from Genesis 22. And that may very well be my most favorite passage of Scripture. There are hundreds of ways in that text to see Christ and Him crucified. And I had that in mind when I was picking out my reading for tonight. These next 11 verses, if you're able, can you put yourself in Isaac's place? Upon the altar, ready to be sacrificed, and the lamb provided. More than that, can you hang yourself upon the cross that is rightfully mine, where I should have been slain, and instead Christ died for me? As we read this, you'll notice Christ died for us. May God give us the grace to see Christ died for me. Chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. That tribulation that Abraham faced as he took his son up that mountain for 3 days, knowing he was going to sacrifice his son. Verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement.
We're speaking from, and after the such good scripture reading and good singing, I feel like saying, amen, let's go home. That's what I feel like doing. But like he said, if you can't see the gospel of St. C. Christ in Genesis 22, you couldn't see him anywhere. But let's read these first 14 verses. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Oh my, what a verse of scripture. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, we've got the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar. And there laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. Four times we read about Abraham lifting up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold him, and behold behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen, or the Lord will provide. Well, I don't know what to say. I've read it. Speaks for itself, don't it? It just speaks for itself. You know, what could you say about it? But I'll try to say a few things. There's many, many things that's precious to the Lord's people, precious to people. But God's people truly, truly know what is precious. We know what's precious. Christ is precious to them that believe. Oh, how precious He is to those that believe. He is so precious that we long to spend eternity with Him. He's so precious that we love to think of Him. So precious that we cast our souls on Him. Not only is He precious to us, but He's precious to His Father. Oh, how His Father loves His Son. And His blood that He shed for sinners, oh, how precious it is. How precious His blood is. Because it satisfies God. God said, I saw the travail of His soul and was satisfied. Christ's blood satisfied God. Satisfied His justice, honored His righteousness, and blessed His and honored His blessed holiness. Not only did it satisfy God, but it satisfied our conscience. The blood of Christ, how precious is it? It satisfied our conscience. Your conscience asks for anything other than Christ? Does your conscience want anything other than the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ? My conscience doesn't ask for anything else. My conscience is satisfied. It's not asking for nothing else. And here's another thing about how precious the blood of Christ is. It cleanses us from our sin. All our sin. All our sin. And His promises are precious. Oh, how precious His promises are. They've been and will be kept right to the T. All the promises of God in Him are yea and amen. No doubt about it. And faith is precious. Faith is precious. And here, he read Romans 4, talked about Abraham strong in faith, giving glory to God. Stagger not through unbelief at the promises of God. And how Christ was delivered our offense, raised again for our justification. And so here are some precious, precious things that we see. Faith, blood, Christ, promises, all these things are precious right here. Verse 1 said, and it came to pass after these things. And to know after these things is after what happened to Abraham up to this point, especially after what happened to Abraham when Hagar and her son had to be put away, when he had to rebuke Abimelech, and then when he went into covenant with Abimelech, then when he planted the trees and had the 7 lambs, the 7 ewe lambs, and then when he planted the tree, and Abraham sojourned down there, and it came to pass after all these things, this last week it was an ordinary day, after these things, it says this, and we don't know how long after it was, but God did tempt Abraham. There's the trying of your faith. Trying of your faith much more precious than of gold, though it be tried with fire, that it might be found to praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of our Savior. God did tempt Abraham. That means He tried him. God said, I'm going to try Abraham. I'm going to see Abraham. And I know what Abraham's going to do. I know exactly what he's going to do. But I want everybody else to see what Abraham's going to do. I want to see how faith honors me. I want to see how men that's on this earth can actually honor God. And Abraham, God spoke to Abraham. And he said, Abraham, he said, Lord, here am I. I'm here. And oh my, look what he said to Abraham. You talking about a trial. And he takes it, God, when he says something, he says it in such a way that it has such emphasis on it. He says, take now thy son. That would be enough. Take now thy son. But he didn't say, take now thy son. He said, take thine only son. And then he said, take now thine only son, Isaac. And then he goes on, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest. He just build on that. And Abraham's standing there and listening to God say this to him. He waited years, him and Sarah, waited years for this son to be born. Waited years for God to give him this boy. And he says, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And he goes on to say this, and offer him up. Offer him there. Offer him there for a burnt offering. For a burnt offering. Oh my. Upon one of the mountains. I ain't even going to tell you what mountain to go to yet. Upon one of the mountains that I'll tell you about. And I'll tell you of. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, God's beloved Son, God's precious Son, the Son of His love. Before He ever come into this world, He said, Son, there's a mountain you're going to go to. There's a place you're going to go to. And there you're going to be a sacrifice. And listen. And look what Abraham did. Now Abraham, I can't imagine what this man's mind went through. I cannot imagine. When you have children, you every one of y'all know how precious a child is. I mean, more of you love them. Oh, when they're first born, you love them, and as they, you just think there's no way in the world I can love them any more than I do, but you do. And then you get grandchildren and you love them. And here's Isaac. God said, He's the son whom thou lovest. Abraham said, oh, he didn't back up. Look what happened. He rose up early in the morning. God told him. He got up early, early the next morning. Saddled his ass. Took two of his young men with him. There's three of them now, four of them. Isaac and Abraham and his two young men went with him. And Isaac, his son, and clave the wood. Now, did Isaac clave the wood, or did the young men clave the wood? I believe Isaac clave the wood. That means Isaac chopped the wood. Isaac split the wood. Isaac prepared the wood. And Isaac clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Our Lord Jesus Christ, God told him exactly what he is going through when he came into this world. And one time he was talking to his disciples, and he said, it's the Son of Man must go up to Jerusalem, must be delivered into the hands of sinners, and must die. And you know what Simon Peter said? Oh, no, 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 no. Be it far from thee, Lord. That's not going to happen. Even Simon Peter didn't want his master to suffer. Didn't want, he wanted, like most people, he wanted Christ, but he didn't want his cross. But Abraham, and listen, they went 3 days, 3 days they rode. 3 days they rode. 3 days they had things to think about. 3 days they was on this journey. 3 days they got up, traveled all day, spent the night. Got up the next day, traveled all day. And knowing what's going to happen, he's got the wood, he's got everything, and he's heading that way. And on the third morning, and look what it says, on the third day in verse 4, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw a mountain way far off. You know how far off God saw this mountain of our Lord Jesus Christ? He saw it from eternity. He saw the Christ as the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God lifted up his eyes, and him and his son lifted up their eyes, and before God ever set the stars in heaven, and the sons of God shouted for joy, he said, yonder, there's a mountain. And oh, how many times they come to get Christ, and he said, mine hour is not yet come. And Abraham got there on the third day, lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place. Didn't say a place, the place, the place. Oh my, the place. What place? The place God appointed. The place God told him about. The place God set apart for this to happen. And I love this. Oh, what a verse of scripture right here. And Abraham said to his young men, y'all stay right here. Stay here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come back. God done told him going to offer him. He's going to be on an altar and you're going to burn him. You're talking about a man who believed God that all his promises was in that man, in that son. He said if God takes him, he's got to bring him again from the dead. What you read in John 11, he said, oh Lord, he that was where the dead lay, that's where Christ goes. And oh my, we're going to go yonder and listen, this is what he says. We're going to go up yonder and worship God. And we're going to come back. Right off, we're going up on that mountainside. We're going to worship God. Bless his name. And we're going to come right back down. You know where we worship God at? We worship God by Christ who is on that cross. We joy, Lord, we rejoice and glory in the Lord Jesus Christ by whom we've now received the atonement. Oh, what a thing to think. What a thing to say. Me and that lad going to go yonder. And I'm going to slay him. And I'm going to put him on an altar. And I'm going to do what God said to do. And I'm going to do it where God told me to do it. But I tell you what, God's going to keep his promise. He's going to bring that boy back. Because he done promised me that in my seed, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. He can't be blessed in a dead man. We couldn't be blessed by a dead man. Oh, Christ ever lives to make intercession for us. Oh, listen, I'm telling you, Christ died and he was buried, but he rose again. Oh, we're not trusting a dead man. We're trusting a living man. And all them promises of God are in him. Look what else he says here. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it, laid it upon Isaac, his son. He took the wood, laid it on his son's back, the wood that he was going to offer him with. Our Lord Jesus Christ bared his own cross going outside of Jerusalem. And he laid that wood upon Isaac, his son. Christ bore his own cross. And look what he's saying. And he took the fire in his hands. He had a little censer. Had a little fire in it. And they carried that little censer with that fire in it. And he had a knife. And listen to what it says. And they went both of them together. Ain't you thankful that God and his son was in this together? That God provided. God said he laid the wood on his own son. And he made his soul an offering for sin. That he made his soul an offering for sin. That he laid on him, not only the cross on him, but laid our iniquities on him. Laid our sins on him. That he was wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. And God looked at him and saw the travail of his soul and said, I'm satisfied. Oh, how I'm satisfied. And they went, both of them, together. Together in heart, together in purpose, together in will. Oh, not only did Abraham love his son Isaac, but Isaac, his son, loved his father. Loved his father. And look what it says. And Isaac, now Isaac's probably 18, 19, 20 years old, maybe even 21 here. And Isaac spake unto his father. Him and his father's going together and they began to talk. And he says, my father. And he said, yes, son, what? And he said, behold, we got the fire and we got the wood and we're going up here to worship. You done told them fellas we're going up here to worship. But where is the lamb that we're going to worship with when we get up there? Where is that lamb that you're going to offer there? We got the wood, we got the fire, we got the knife, we got everything that it needs to make an offering. But we don't have a lamb. Where's he at? I've heard old Scott say that several times. When he'd get through preaching and somebody else get through preaching, he'd come up and he'd listen. I didn't hear no lamb. There wasn't no lamb in that preaching. He said, where was the lamb? Oh my, where is the lamb? Father, got to have a lamb if we're going to worship. If we're going to worship, we got to have a lamb. We got to have an offering. And look what Abraham said to him. Abraham said, my son. this blesses my heart to know it. He said, my son. Oh my God. God is going to do this. God's going to do this. What's he going to do? He's going to provide himself a lamb. See, the lamb's for God. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Oh my, did God provide us a lamb? John said, behold the lamb. When Henry preached his daughter Becky's funeral, that was what he preached from, behold the lamb. God provided himself a lamb. That was the hope he had, the hope she had, the hope everybody's got. And God gave himself a lamb. Provided himself a lamb. And if God provides the lamb, you know what he said? He only accepts what he himself provides. And if he provides himself a lamb, then he'll accept that lamb. He won't accept our lambs. He won't accept our offerings. But he'll accept the one he provides. And he said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And he did. He provided himself a lamb. And here it says again, look what else it says here. Look what else it says here in verse 8. So they went both of them together. They just keep on going. That satisfied Isaac. Isaac was satisfied. The father was satisfied. They was ready to go worship. And they went both of them together. Oh my. You know who else was with them there? God the Father. But you're talking about a beautiful picture. The Father and the Son. And listen to this. And verse 9, and they came to the place. What did it say back up there? It said Abraham saw the place afar off. And they came to the place. There was a place. They came to the place. Which God had told him of. You're there, Abraham. Don't go no further. This is it. This is the place. This is the place right here. And oh my. And this, you know, they going up this mountainside. And they came to the place that God had told him. Christ came to the place God appointed for him. He is delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. And look what Abraham did. He took time. And Isaac was no doubt standing there, and Isaac was no doubt helping him. And Abraham built an altar there. He built him an altar. What did he build it out? He had to take rocks. And he had to pile up some rocks. And he piled up them rocks, and he began to build an altar. And he built that altar there, and look what he done. And then he laid the wood. There had to be an order. There was an order to the wood. And he laid that wood in order. Laid that wood in order underneath that. Had that wood ready to go. And oh my. We cannot imagine, we just cannot enter into what happened in that conversation between Isaac and Abraham, the father and the son. When Abraham built that altar and laid the wood in order. And then he said, son, come over here. What, Dad? What, father? What? Lay down here. Lay down here. Lay down here. Lay down. He's a grown man. He said, lay down. You know what he did? He laid down. Lay down. And then Abraham took some cords, tied him up on that altar, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Oh, that's enough. What kind of conversation went on between them two when this happened? I believe this with all my heart. I don't believe Isaac hesitated. His father loved him, and he loved his father, and he was so obedient to his father, and he loved his father, he would never think about doing anything but obeying his father. Our Lord Jesus said, oh, if there be any other way, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, at thy will be done. And he laid down. And Isaac, a grown man, laid down on that altar. Now he's got to die before he can put that fire under him. Now it ain't got... Isaac's laying there watching his dad do everything that he's doing. And he got that knife out. And Isaac's laying on that altar. And he reaches that knife back. And Isaac's laying there. He ain't flinching. I don't believe he's flinching. Because he done told him, said, me and you are going back down off this mountain. He believed his father. And he reached forth that knife. And look what it says. And took the knife to slay his son. Took the knife to slay his son. Arise, O sword, and smite the shepherd. Smite my fellow. And oh, listen to what happened. This is Christ speaking here. This is Christ. Christ intervened right here. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven. Christ said, Abraham! He stopped. And he said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here I am. Boy, you talk about a man that was so full of joy when he heard this. he was so full of joy. You can imagine the rejoicing he had when God, that angel, Lord Jesus, said, Abraham, Abraham, stop, stop. Lay not your hand upon the lad. Don't do it. Neither do thou anything unto him. And God done this to teach us this. Now I know. That thou fearest God. That thou fearest God. How do you know? See that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Well, Abraham lifted up his eyes again. He done got Isaac, you know, off of the altar. There ain't been no fire set yet. And Abraham lifted up his eyes. And this is what Paul Mahan said. He said, there's a fellow had a bunch of sheep down on the bottom of that mountain. He said, one day somebody left the gate open, a ram got out. That ram wandered up that mountainside and happened to get stuck in some bushes right where you're supposed to be. But anyway, he looked, he lifted up his eyes, and there's a ram. Some big old curled horns on him. And he was caught in the thicket, caught by his horns. Who caught him? Who caught that ram? Who put him there? That's what you're talking about God's ways. Oh, how unsearchable are his ways and their past finding out. Oh, the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And oh, listen. And he lifted up his eyes and looked. Oh, I can imagine when he first saw that ram. Oh, he looked. He said, there's a ram. There's a ram. And Abraham went over there and got that ram. And listen, you know what he did? He put that ram on that altar. And look what it says. And this is substitution that is both purest in the stead of his son. Christ was put in the stead of his children. And oh my. And he took that ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. God put Christ in the stead of his son. And you know, when they came to get our Lord Jesus Christ that night in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, if you seek me, listen to this, if you seek me, let these go their way. If you get me, let these go their way. And that ram was taken and put in Isaac's place. And Abraham told him, he said, I'm telling you, told you we'd come back down off this mountain. And you know what Abraham called that place? He named that mountainside there. And they tell me, I don't know if it's so or not, but maybe we could find out by searching. And they say that this mountain that he went on was the same as Mount Calvary that was later in Jerusalem, that on Mount Moriah in Jerusalem. They say it's the same mountain. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah. Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Shall what shall be seen? That the Lord will provide himself a lamb. And beloved, we have seen, we've been to that place that God appointed. We've been to that place where Christ was offered. We've been to that place where Christ was put in our room and put in our stead. And now it's not afar off. What is it? It's near thee, even in thy mouth. What is it? It's the word of faith we preach. What's that word of faith? If thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, that's why we preach the word of faith. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Oh, what a story. What a picture. What a gospel. What a gospel. Our Father, in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us to be here this evening, to be with the children of God, to look at your word together. Oh, Lord, thank you. Oh, blessed be your name for offering your son up in our room, in our stead, for fixing that place and fixing it where we would come to that place. And that, Lord, when we partook of that death, Christ is our altar. Now we come to worship you. We worship you through him, by him, and because of him. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for washing us from our sins in your own blood. Thank you, Father, for making it to be so. And then working in our hearts to believe, to believe, to be like Abraham, to stagger not. Stagger not at this promise of God, but believe it, rejoice in it, find comfort and assurance in it. And Lord, we worship tonight. I worship tonight, and I thank you for it. In Christ's holy name, amen.